How do you do? Through songs and poems, we exalt love, the romantic infatuation kind that is fleeting, cloaked in fantasy, and breaks the heart. Suffering from such an unrequited love, the man in this story ignored the real love of his life until his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Do you think we're doing the right thing, Jack?
Neither one of us is ready to raise kids, Amelia. I don't make enough money to feed one kid, let alone two.
I sure didn't realize how much more work it is with two.
The kids will be better off with their grandparents for a while.
Oh, I hope it's not for long. I miss my little girl already.
She'll be fine with your mom. I'm just glad my folks are willing to take the baby.
Pity they can't be together, but Mom couldn't deal with both of them. I hope your mother can manage Ron. He's a handful, even at 4 months.
Bringing hope to an afflicted world, this is Unshackled, true life stories, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Cynics may not see the value of a rescue mission because some guests come to Pacific Garden Mission, take advantage of the amenities, and leave without so much as a thank you, let alone a life change. But pastors and counselors see others walking in darkness on whom the light of understanding shines, and they step from despondency to new life. That's the goal at the old lighthouse. Providing a place to sleep, clothing, and meals are just the beginning, the means to reach people with the truth that sets them free of their bondage. Friends who send financial gifts to keep the doors open make this opportunity possible. And we reach out to the world through this program with the same good news and the same goal, new life. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3150 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. That boy, now 17, and living once again with his mother, was riding his motorcycle when the police pursued him.
What were you thinking, Ron? You can't outrun the police.
I don't have a license, Mom. I didn't want to get a ticket.
Do you even know why he tried to pull you over?
No.
He just wanted to tell you your taillight was blinking on and off. Now you have 6 charges instead of 1.
Well, no big deal.
No big deal? I was right behind you, and I saw the whole thing. You passed on a curve with traffic coming at you. Scared me half to death.
Yeah, but I shook off that police car.
And what did you gain?
I almost got away. Got through the roadblocks they set for me.
And you almost ran over a cop.
I know how to handle a motorcycle.
You idiot. You were on the road to the police station, Ron. All they had to do was wait for you.
I sure piled up some charges, didn't I? Driving without a license, reckless driving, fleeing arrest, driving on borrowed plates, and driving without insurance. They're too picky.
Oh, you're lucky they didn't charge you with leaving your brain behind.
So, you're gonna bail me out?
No. You'll have to learn to take the consequences for your decisions.
The man in our story was wild, even as a child. This is a story of how he was tamed. The true testimony of Ron Mullins, right now on Unshackled.
I was 6 years old and didn't know my parents at all when they came and got me from my grandparents, the only family I knew. They moved me from Kentucky to Florida, where my older sister lived with Mom's family, then moved us all to Michigan. Another sister was born. 7 years later, when I was 13, came another loss. I was playing with my train set in the basement when Dad came down to see me.
Ron, I have some bad news. I'm leaving, son.
Where are you going, Dad?
I don't know yet.
When are you coming back?
I'm not. Your mom and I are getting divorced.
I cried at losing my father, but I tried to swallow the hurt and spent the summer with my paternal grandparents who raised me. While they took me to church occasionally and tried to teach me about God, life was teaching me to make friends quickly and let him go easily. At the end of the summer, I went back to Michigan, away from their stable influence. Dad had moved only about 70 miles away, but I didn't see him much. By the time I was 15, I was drinking alcohol to numb the pain of life's circumstances, inflaming my wild nature.
You quit school? At 16? What's wrong with you?
Actually, they threw me out.
Why?
For lighting paper airplanes in shop class and shooting them down with the fire extinguisher.
What did I do to deserve a kid like you?
They had a whole list of reasons they called egregious behavior. I mean, come on. Since when is taking a typewriter apart a bad thing? How else do you learn how it's made?
Why can't you be normal, Ron? Why are you always so wild?
Everybody thinks about blowing up toilets with firecrackers or putting a snake in a girl's desk in biology class. I'm just not afraid to try the things I think about.
Well, I'm not going to support you. If you're not going to school, you'll get a job. You hear?
Even though I was wild, my parents taught me to work hard and be honest. So I held various jobs, from washing windows to working in factories. I'm convinced that the godly influence of my grandparents had an impact on me. My antics were ways to dispel my internal pain and the guilt I felt. Then came the motorcycle fiasco when I tried to outrun the police. I was in jail Sunday night, in court Monday morning, and pleaded guilty to all the charges. The judge sentenced me to 6 months in jail on each charge, but to run concurrently.
I came as soon as I heard, Ron. You okay?
Yeah, Dad, I'm fine.
I talked to a lawyer, and he's going to file an appeal.
It's not too bad in here. At first it was, but I'm making friends with all the cops.
You are?
Yeah, even the one I almost ran over.
Well, I'm still going to try to get you out.
I was encouraged by my dad's attention and concern. The appeal was denied, so I spent the whole 6 months behind bars. Then I found a job in a factory and went back to motorcycle riding, this time with a license. I met Tricia in a bar, and we became friends because she liked to ride bikes and go camping, too. After 8 months of dating, we married. I was 20 that year, the same year I discovered marijuana. I was working at a company full of men who liked to party.
Where have you been, Ron? Dinner's cold.
Oh, the guys wanted to stop by the lounge, and one thing led to another.
Well, if you called, I could have joined you.
Hey, it's a guy thing, Tricia. Besides, most of the guys I work with are single.
I know, and that's not good. All they care about is going to bars and picking up girls. Do you think that's good for our marriage?
Okay, I'll look for another job and sell my motorcycle so I'm not tempted to run around. I found another job, and when I was laid off from that one, Tricia's dad helped me find employment at a factory where he worked. While there, I got into bodybuilding. My young body responded to rigorous exercise, and my new muscles affected the way I thought about myself.
You're going back to the old workplace? Why, Ron?
Well, they came by the shop today on a service contract and offered me a job.
You know what they're like, honey. Don't do it. We've built a special relationship since you stopped working there.
Oh, come on, Tricia. Tame that green-eyed monster.
It's a bad idea, and you know it. Besides, Dad got you that job. He'll be offended if you quit.
He'll get over it. She was right, but I wanted to feed my ego. I partied way too much, sometimes staying out all night. We'd been married 10 years, and Tricia was expecting our first child when I decided to try something else. I took a job that paid more in a major automobile factory. Unfortunately, lots of women worked there. They flirted with me, and I liked it. 4 years later, I made a horrible decision.
What? I can't believe you want a divorce. Why?
I just want to be free, Tricia.
But you are free. You come and go as you please, Ron.
You know what I mean. We got married so young.
What have I done? Have I failed you in some way?
No, you're a good wife, a great cook, and a good mother to our son.
Then why? You always said you didn't believe in divorce.
Look, I'll give you everything, Tricia. The house, all the furnishings, the new truck.
What about our son? How can you do this to an innocent 4-year-old?
I'll come see him every day, I promise.
14 years we've been married. Why are you throwing it all away?
I told you, I just want to be free. There's things I want to do, and the restraints of marriage are too much for me. The circumstances of my past had caused me to easily walk away from intimate relationships. The emptiness that pervaded me internally was never filled. What I wanted to do was wrong and selfish, but I pushed ahead and no one counseled against divorce, none of our friends or family. I left with only my personal belongings and my four-wheel drive truck. I kept my word and went to see our son almost every day. I tried to fill my life with things, new Harley, nice Jeep, photography, etc., but nothing eased the guilt.
Hello?
Hey, Mom, it's me.
How's everything, son?
About the same.
Oh, nothing's ever the same with you, Ron.
Did I just get slammed?
No, but you've always taken a different road than most people.
Yeah, well, you and Dad had a hand in that.
I know, and I regret some of our decisions. We didn't know how badly it would affect you, honey.
Like leaving us with our grandparents?
You were probably better off with them. We weren't ready to be parents.
Do you regret divorcing Dad?
Honey, I couldn't live with your dad. He was schizophrenic. But if I'd known then what I know now, I would have tried harder. The Bible says God hates divorce.
You're reading the Bible?
Yes. I've given my life to the Lord. I'm trying to learn how to live for Him. I can't change my past, but I can follow Jesus for my future.
Mom was really different, but I kept busy with superficial things like keeping my body in shape. After the divorce, I moved in with a girlfriend in Detroit, and we took scuba diving lessons together. By then, it was 1989, and I was 37 years old, still gratifying my own selfish pursuits and loaded with guilt.
Hey, Ron! Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Great. I'm going to compete in a bodybuilding contest next week.
Oh, yeah? You ought to win with those muscles.
I got to stay in shape, huh? You know, when I travel, the first thing I look for is a place to work out.
Hey, you still scuba diving?
Yeah, whenever I can. Took some great pictures, too. You have to come by and see him.
Oh, are you living in Detroit with that girlfriend of yours?
For now.
That doesn't sound too serious.
So many women, so little time. Whoa. Man, look what just walked in the door.
She is gorgeous. You know her?
I'm about to. Hey, beautiful. My name's Ron. If you're not a model, you should be.
Hello, Ron. You forgot to wear a shirt.
I wear tank tops to attract beautiful women like you.
Huh. I prefer men to wear shirts.
Hey, for you, I might wear a shirt. Now and then. Her name was Chris, and I fell madly in love with her. Well, I felt what I perceived as love. She was sophisticated while I was rough around the edges, but opposites attract, and we were very attracted to each other. She wanted to tame me, to take the wild and crazy out of me. Instead, she just made me crazy.
We'll hear more about Ron's dilemma in just a moment. The pain of hunger is bad enough. Add the pain of a toothache or some medical condition, and a homeless person is miserable beyond description. That's why Pacific Garden Mission opened a medical and dental clinic in the middle of the last century. Doctors, nurses, and dental professionals in the clinic treat as many as 600 patients a month. Although the mission has a doctor and nurses on staff full-time, they couldn't help so many people without volunteers. Orthodontists, optometrists, nurses, and other specialists donate their time to help ease the physical ailments of people who are homeless and suffering. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Homeless people are often sick at heart, too. And the caring touch of these compassionate medical and dental professionals can open the door to spiritual healing. To learn more about this ministry, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org.
What's this?
Some shirts. I want you to wear them when you go out with me.
But I like to dress this way.
You just like to show off your muscles, Ron.
What's wrong with that? I work hard to stay buff.
Hey, when we go out, people notice you more than they notice me.
Well, try being more outgoing, honey. You're too reserved.
And you're very loud and uncouth.
Hey, it's my nature to be passionate and outspoken. I've always been that way.
Well, you could change if you wanted to, Ron.
Stop trying to remake me, Chris. I am what I am.
If you love this woman, what's the problem, Ron?
We're so different, Mom. She keeps trying to change me.
Well, you should feel right at home, son. I've been trying to change you all your life.
Not like her. We argue all the time. She says people notice me more than they notice her.
She said that?
Yeah.
You both need the Lord, Ron. He would change both of you.
I'm going to get on my bike and go out west, and I won't come back until I forget her name. We'd been dating 3 weeks when I took a buyout from the union, paid off my bike, and rode to Wyoming. But all I thought about was getting back to Chris. I was sitting in a bar high in the Rocky Mountains when I wrote my first poem about loving her. Then I roared back across 5 states to get to her. I called and told her to expect me, but when I arrived, she wasn't home. I was crushed. The Bible says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." I was in love, but we argued so much I couldn't decide if I wanted to marry her or not.
Why are you so reluctant to get married, Ron?
It's just the timing. I'm getting ready for a bodybuilding contest.
Oh, you don't want to marry me, do you?
Sure I do, Chris.
Would you marry me if I were to get pregnant?
I gave you my word, and I would keep it. Well, she did wind up getting pregnant. Well, then I was trapped.
But you don't really want to marry me, I can tell.
Can you love me for who I am, just the way I am?
No, you are too wild, Ron. You're not a boy, you're a man.
You'll try to change me if we get married.
Hey, if you don't want to marry me, you should just move out.
We kept seeing each other and even went to a premarital counselor where Chris admitted she couldn't accept me without change. I was looking for unconditional love, but her love had conditions. Well, we married and had a beautiful daughter. Even then, however, we didn't live together, and after 2 years, we divorced. Emotionally, I turned to my younger sister and my friend.
So, you think the divorce was a mistake, Ron?
Yeah, I'm miserable.
Can't live with her, can't live without her, huh?
I tried everything. Sending flowers, cards, nothing works.
Give it time. She might soften.
It's killing me. She said things that hurt me more than anything or anyone in my life.
You need to get over her, Ron.
I've written poems and given her gifts, and she just puts the gifts in a bag.
Is she seeing somebody else?
Yeah, and I can't stand it. I even took her a freeze-dried rose under glass to symbolize my love that would never die. She just laughed.
You know what? You should just take a motorcycle trip with that girl who's been after you to go down to the Blue Ridge Parkway.
I went on that trip south with the girl, but it was bittersweet. Every so often, I had to stop because I couldn't stop crying. My friend tried to comfort me. Finally, we parted in Kentucky, and I rode on to Key West alone. By the time I returned home, I was still sad, but dealing with my lost love. 4 weeks later, Chris wanted to see me, and the roller coaster started again.
Your sister is right, Ron. These poems are beautiful. Did you make copies of the ones you already gave Chris?
Yeah, she threw them away, like yesterday's newspaper.
Oh, she doesn't deserve you.
Why does it hurt so much, Mom? I'd do anything to get her back.
You have to come to the Lord and ask Him to help you with her.
If this is all life has to offer, it's not worth it.
Why don't you go to church with me tomorrow?
I had nothing to lose, so I went. I don't remember the sermon that first Sunday, but I felt comfortable and really accepted Mom's church. All the next week was miserable, though. I'd come home from work and the gym and sit by the phone hoping that Chris would call. The following Sunday, I went to church again.
Jeremiah wrote in chapter 15, verse 16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts."
Amen.
Are you called by his name?
Yes.
The Lord knows those that are his. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Only God can promise you eternal life. Only God can forgive your sins. If there's anyone here that would like to get right with God, talk with me after the service.
When we got up to leave, I told Mom I wanted to talk to the pastor. This big, tough biker figured he could talk to God and get things straight. My emotions had softened more than I wanted to admit. The pastor and some deacons, along with a young man who had recently lost his father, met with me in the church library. The young man told me how Jesus had comforted him and given him strength after his father's death.
Ron, if you were in jail and had no hope of getting out, and someone came and offered to take your place, what would you do?
Does he know I've been in jail? Well, I've always been taught to take responsibility for my actions. If you have a debt, pay it. So I couldn't let someone take the punishment for something I did.
Someone did anyway. You had a debt you couldn't pay, and that someone paid for it with his life. That someone was Jesus, and your debt was sin. God says in the Bible, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord."
I never really knew that.
God loves you, and he wants to save you. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The Bible says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God loves us even when we don't love him in return.
I know what it's like to love someone who doesn't love you. What should I do?
Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness."
Oh, Lord, please forgive me, Jesus. Thank you for paying my sin debt. I repent of my sins of pride and immorality. Oh, God, help me to change and give me peace. I walked out of church that day knowing I would never be the same. My coworkers saw the change in me immediately. I was no longer crude and belligerent, no longer a bully. When they asked me about the smile on my face, I told them about Jesus. That's when the trouble began, and I told a Christian friend about it.
You don't have to worry about leaving your friends, Ron. They're leaving you.
I can't believe the change in them. I walk into our room, and I've worked with those five guys for years. The silence is deafening. They stop talking.
Well, you quit partying with them. You don't drink or do drugs and chase women anymore.
I overheard one of them whisper, "Do you think he's afraid of dying?"
Hardly.
I read the Bible all the time during lunch break, and I've memorized some verses, like John chapter 5, verse 24, where Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So I'm not afraid of dying.
Ron, your friends might forsake you. Jesus never will.
I know. He's my only companion in that room. I endured the cold shoulder at work for 8 months. Then I left the company. Before leaving, I mailed everyone, laying out the plan of salvation. God brought me new friends at church. My son was 10 years old and knew by experience my violent temper. He feared me until he saw the transformation that Christ made in me. My daughter and Chris were a different problem that I shared with my younger sister.
Are you finally over Chris?
Yeah, Jesus took care of that. He opened my eyes to the truth and real love.
Then you can see how she's trying to control you.
Yeah, now she's using our daughter.
You have visitation rights, Ron. You should be allowed to take your daughter to church.
When I pick her up on Friday evening, Chris insists that I bring her back on Saturday evening at 5 o'clock.
That's only 24 hours.
Yeah, and she doesn't want me to take her to church with me on Sunday.
There has to be a remedy.
There is. I petitioned the court, and we're seeing a referee.
Buy a suit so you make a good impression.
I have. But I'm also memorizing a Bible verse because Chris likes to push my buttons and get me angry.
What verse is that?
"He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Chris came with a lawyer and claimed I was too depressed to have my daughter on Sunday. She offered my poems as evidence of my depression, so the referee decided to let a therapist decide if I was depressed.
Hello?
Well, we saw the therapist today. The first question she asked was, are you religious? I told her the truth. I said, I go to church on Sunday, prayer meeting on Wednesday, sing in the choir, and work with kids. If that makes me religious, then I guess I am.
Don't give up, Ron.
I won't, but the control issues never stop. I decided to step out of my daughter's life. I'd seen too many couples fight over visitation rights and put the kids right in the middle. I gave the whole situation to the Lord, but I grieved mightily. My pastor helped me see that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He also asked me to teach Sunday school, which helped. Several months passed. Hello?
Ron, why are you trying to get a birthday present to our daughter through your son?
I want her to have a gift from me.
Why didn't you just give it to her yourself? You need to be in your daughter's life.
I agree.
All right, why don't you pick her up on Friday and keep her the whole weekend?
God helped me. After that, I took my daughter to church. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I was saved on May 15, 1994, and prayed that my former wives would come to Christ, but it didn't happen. In 2001, I married a beautiful Christian woman, and the Lord has blessed our union. My father died in 2002, and I held his hand as he passed. I wish I had made more time for him. I am still in the same church where I was saved, still serving the Lord in this special place.
Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Listening friend, if God is tugging at your heart, this is the day of your salvation. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. If you need help in making this life-changing decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. While I was in prison, Unshackled saved my life, a listener wrote recently. We love getting messages like that, so please write soon and let the manager of this radio station know that you look forward to hearing Unshackled. This is program number 3150. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Share with us what these stories mean to you by card, letter, or email. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-492-9410. 9410.